Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace that not only leads us through our years, but walks with us through our years. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to walk with you, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would speak to us in that still small voice. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet. It has on one side sermon notes where you can fill in the blank. On the other side, it has a devotional for the remaining days of this week. I really encourage you to use this and go through it as it will help you to experience God more fully in your life. If you're listening online, there is a PDF file that has both the sermon notes and the devotionals that you can download and print. There are times in our lives where we come to moments of reflection. Sometimes it's a reflection of something we've done, something successful, or it could be something that we've done that wasn't quite so successful, but we're going to focus on success today. We could have had success in school, getting through a grade, maybe making the dean's list or graduating, or success for an athletic person. Maybe you remember when you had your personal best. Maybe it was a team sport, your best game, the best time, your best performance. Or success could be for the working person. Maybe you remember when you had your first job. That was a success. Or your most productive time frame, or brought home your biggest sales check or commission. Or success might have been when your children moved out, married, and now have children of their own. But the reflection I've been thinking about are those people in my life who have influenced me in my relationship with God. Maybe that influence was somebody in my family, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or even a sibling who spurred you on to know God more personally. Maybe it was a teacher in Sunday school class or a small group. If you've reflected on that enough, you'll find that there are people in your past who have influenced you spiritually. Not just to know God or to know about spiritual things, but to begin to know God more intimately, more one-on-one, more personally, and to know God for yourself. To know God. To know God in the Greek takes on a more academic feel. To know God in the Greek, it takes on an academic field. We can look in the New Testament and see that Jesus tells us to know God, or that actually not Jesus, but the disciples might tell us that we need to know God. And this knowledge is more academic. It's like a book knowledge. If you say you know someone, I could say, well, I know Tom Cruise, I know Julia Roberts, Johnny Cash, and Dolly Parton. I know them. You see, I could go to Wikipedia, and I could look up their names, and I could tell you all about their lives, and I could say, I know them, right? That's an academic knowledge of those people. And there are people that you've met in your neighborhood or at school or at work, even here at church, you could say, yes, I know them. We went to work, or we lived in the same area, we went to church together, I know what they do for a living, the family makeup, they've got three kids, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you never said more than hi to them in church. This is the Greek understanding of knowing someone. Now, to note in the Hebrew language, to know someone has a much more intimate feeling to it, gained by a personal relationship, gained by personal experience. When Adam knew Eve, the Bible says, he knew her sexually, because that verse says Adam knew Eve and then they had Cain and Abel. So that knowledge of Adam and Eve is an intimate knowledge. When Abraham or Moses knew God, it was due to personal encounters with God. Moses' first encounter with God was in a flaming bush. Conversations were had, and they experienced God in a personal way, more than just saying hi, more than just getting on your computer and looking up God on Wikipedia, right? So when Jesus says he knows the Father, it is a personal knowledge based on a relationship with the Father that he's talking about. In Luke 10, 22, Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son." This know Jesus refers to is not a Greek or academic knowledge of God the Father. It's a Hebrew saying, "I know the Father," to become acquainted with, to understand, which comes through from personal experiences. I don't know about you, but this causes me to ask the question, how do I know God? How do I know God the Father? How do I know God the Son? How do I know God the Holy Spirit? Is it academically or is it personally? Do I know them in the Greek sense? I know of them, the knowledge of them. Or do I know them in the Hebrew sense by relating to them on a personal level? By experience, by living life with God. You see, some Christians have moved from the Greek knowing God to the Hebrew knowing God. You see, when God becomes more to them than just some cosmic entity or something the Bible tells us about, to an intimate relationship based on conversations, of knowing each other personally and building a relationship of trust and love. While other Christians remain at a Greek distance. One mother who I met had moved into the Hebrew knowing of God. She was experiencing God on a personal level. And she and I were talking, and she said, "You know, my son, he's in his late 20s, early 30s, has a great knowledge of God, more than I even know about God, because he has studied the Bible." But instead of reading the Bible as a love story, as a love letter from God, God's love for us, he read it only as a historical or an academic document, gaining knowledge but never personally encountering the God that was in the pages. He could tell you about God, but he could not show you who God was. I believe this series on experiencing God will help a person move from simply knowing God to truly experiencing God. And I know that for most Christians, that desire burns deep in our hearts. We don't let it out too often. We don't want people to know that we don't know God. But we know God. But I must warn you, if you dip your foot into the waters of experiencing God, it'll be hard to go back. Not that you couldn't, but if you did have or increase your encounters with God, the God of the universe, things will just not be the same again. If you invest yourself through services, through reading, through memorizing scripture, or through the after-service class, your relationship with God, I promise, is going to change. If you invest. Now, John, one of Jesus' closest friends, wrote a letter to combat the idea that you can't know God personally or intimately through Jesus, because some were claiming that Jesus was just a spiritual being, not even a human body, not someone that you could really touch, not someone that you could talk to, not someone you could really come to know. And so John starts out, "That which was from the beginning." Well, read the rest with me. "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands, have touched, This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. In this moment, John deeply desires that we know God intimately, personally, this Jesus whom he knows and now proclaims to all of us. This eternal being who has appeared in the flesh to be with us, to reveal God to us so that we can know God, not just academically, but so that we can experience God personally. And if you read all of John's words, Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit desire a personal relationship with their created people. That's you. That's me. That's our families. Those who have lived good lives and those, yes, even those who have not lived good lives. God wants a deeper, more Hebrew knowing of himself, an intimate relationship with each one of us. To know God is to experience God. There was a woman who was put on death row in the Texas penal system for a murder she committed. She was a hardened person. And yet, as she lived on death row, someone came in and helped her to understand through this experience in God who God is. God loves even the most hardened of us. And she ended up giving her life to Jesus. Did she deserve it? From a human standard, sometimes we would say, no. But God said, yes. You can experience God more intimately if you desire. You see, John finishes these thoughts. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that what? Read the rest with me. So that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Seen and heard, a personal encounter with Jesus, the Savior of the world, so that we might have fellowship, be a companion to, partake in a relationship with them, them being John, the disciples, and other Christians, and with the Father and the Son, to be a companion of God's, to partake in a relationship with God. To know God is to experience God one on one. Back in the 1990s, there was a parlor game that sprung up called the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Anyone ever heard of that? 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon? Yeah? It started back in 1927. A Hungarian author, Frigyes Karinthy, believed that in the modern world, back in 27, was shrinking due to this ever-increasing connectedness of human beings. He believed that any two individuals could be connected through at most 5 acquaintances. 5 acquaintances back in 27. That is 6 degrees of separation. 61 years later, in 1990, John Garr wrote a play which popularized this idea of only 6 degrees of separation between any two people. After this, Kevin Bacon, a prolific actor, was quoted to say that it seemed to him that he had worked with everyone in Hollywood. He knew everyone at some point in his career. And this led to the development of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game in the late 90s. You give the name of another actor, and the theory is you can link this actor with Kevin Bacon by 5 relationships or 6 degrees of separation. So let's do it for instance. Who's up on the screen? Elvis Presley. Now Elvis, his last movie was made in 1969. Kevin Bacon was only 11 years old, so they had never worked together. But Kevin Bacon knows everyone in Hollywood. So the question is, what is their degree of separation? So in 1969, Elvis Presley's last movie was Change of Habit. And in the movie Change of Habit was this actor. Who is that? Edward Asner, a young Edward Asner. Edward Asner was in the movie JFK, John F. Kennedy, in 1991. Guess who he was in the movie with? Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon. Therefore, Asner has a separation number of one. Presley, who is connected by Asner, is connected by one, right? One plus one is? There are 2 degrees of separation between Elvis Presley and Kevin Bacon. You get it? You get it? We need to note that as Christians, our focus should be to have 1 degree of separation. 1 degree of separation with God. To know God personally. For too many Christians, when we should have a degree of one separation from God, i.e., you and I know God personally, we actually have 2 degrees of separation. Let me explain that to you. For instance, growing up, there was the young me. And there was my parents, and then God. 2 degrees of separation for me. I knew God because of my parents. My parents knew God, but I knew my parents. That was my separation. For God, it was and always has been only 1 degree of separation back to me. But for me to God, it was 2. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be pastor, parents. It could be even the church. The church could be that degree of separation. I go to church to learn about God. But as I grew in my academic knowledge, I began to explore my relational knowledge, my experience with God. This became especially true as I went through catechism, as I went through confirmation classes. I began to bypass the teacher and go more directly to God. This was another early moment when I was a camp counselor, where I was required, unfortunately, to lead a Bible study with my cabin of boys. You see, I wasn't really ready for it, but I was the counselor, and I needed to be, in order to lead them to know God, I needed to know God myself. And as I look back, I was trying to give them more of an academic knowledge of who this God was, as opposed to helping them to be in relationship with God themselves. And do you know why? Because I had never really experienced God myself. You see, my relationship with God was pretty sketchy at best. So how do I know more than simply to teach about what the Bible says? A more historical approach. Academic knowledge. But even then, the camp director had given us books to use to guide us. So although I was closer, there was some intermediate assistance. There was a degree of separation between me and God. Yet again, as I got to know God more, I began to experience God more, even if it was a tiny, itty-bitty level. As people seek to know God more personally, their degree of separation, God should become one. Other people will encourage us, but as I grow in my relationship with God, it's just me. And it's just God. In retrospect, I can now see God was putting people in my life who had no separation from God or had a separation of one. They were truly what we might call, technical term, ready? Godly people. They were godly people. They were tight with God in a way I had never experienced. The joy, the peace, their relationship with God, there was no separation. Their degree of separation was just one, God and them. Now sometimes I'll ask somebody if they're spiritually minded and they'll reply to me, yes, I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I would say they have at least 2 degrees of separation. Because their relationship is with the church and the church's relationship is with God. You see, when Jesus was with the disciples, he talked to them about being connected to God by being fruitful or by bearing fruit. That shows that you're connected to God. And we have to note that bearing fruit for and with God is the ultimate expression of love. Is the ultimate expression of love for God. It's just not what we do for God, but what we do with God that matters in our life. In order to really bear fruit, we have to experience God. To be in a deep enough relationship with God to know what God's will is for our lives. Jesus said it this way. Read it with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In your sermon notes, the scripture is there, and I'd like you to circle if a man remains in me. And then draw a line back up to the Hebrew understanding of no. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about knowing God personally, knowing God intimately. This is our memory verse for this week. So I challenge you to memorize this verse. Call the topic bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Put it on a 3x5 card or on a piece of paper and tack it up on your refrigerator, your mirror in the morning. Say it out loud. Say it often. Let it sink in. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to know God. You need to experience God. And when you bear fruit, you know what? You don't bear it alone. Because you're connected to the branch. The branch is Jesus. We don't bear fruit alone. We bear fruit with Jesus. As Jesus is the vine, there is no separation for God or from God as we bear fruit. I don't know about you, but to be working with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit seems so much better, so much more fun. Can you have fun with God? Seems so much more fun than bearing fruit by myself. So to truly know God, you have to experience God on an intimate level. And we will be exploring this over the next few months. Invest yourself. Invest yourself through the series, through our church worship times, through the devotions on the back of the sermon notes. Invest yourself. Get a book if you want to. Come to that Sunday school class. But if you don't do anything, nothing will change. Remember what John writes? We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He ends that with these words. This is the message we have heard from Him, Jesus. And declare to you, God is light, in Him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, if we claim to have that Hebrew know of Him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You, me with the Father, you with the Father, the Son and the Spirit, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So what are you going to do? What is God asking you to do? To experience God more, so that you can love God more deeply, more personally. What is God asking you to do? Let us pray. Lord, we come this morning as your servants to love you, to know you in the Hebrew way, to seek you, and so, God, we ask that as we come to worship you, that you would help us to worship you more personally, that you would help us to worship you and experience more of you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,